KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
The big question on everybody's lips.
Yeah, their chap lips.
On their chap lips. Chap right.
Lips.
Do you think Phil's gonna come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and chit that hog out there.
Steve Ryman, our general manager, loves to have fun. This is the perfect thing, his perfect bailiwick, and I enjoy it too. I really appreciate that humor. Groundhog Day, what a movie back in the day. Harold Ramis, I think, was the director. Bill Murray. I know these are not pinnacles of the spiritual stuff that you might expect on KLYT, but those movies are a lot of fun. In fact, I went as far as to look up online some things about Groundhog Day. And it's so funny because the point of Groundhog Day is a powerful picture of what happens when a person is trapped in a self-centered life. And then it explains how you become loving and not self-centered and serving others. And what a fun thing. I'm joined in studio by Jennifer Bryan. I'm Jim Williams with you today. Jennifer is with NourishNutritionCounseling.com. And we are always glad to see you, ma'am.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm going to ask you because we used to have you on a little bit more frequently. You have high school and middle school kids and a hub. And so just any time that you give us, we really appreciate. You've got a Wellness in the Word workshop coming in April. We just talked about that. So we'll have you visit again before then. But give everybody kind of a background on you. You are a nutrition counselor. And what should people be looking at as far as nutrition and balance and all of that?
Yeah. Well, actually, can I start with just sharing? I did a guest appearance at El Dorado High School just a couple weeks ago for the DECA Club. There were a couple of gals there doing a presentation on eating disorders. And so they invited me to come in and just basically to answer some questions. But the first thing I did was I asked the group, and there were probably about 50 students there. I asked them, what's the difference between a nutritionist and a registered dietitian? Do you know, Jim?
I'm
going to ask you the same question.
I don't know.
Okay. They didn't know either.
Yeah.
No one knew. So let me just say there are a plethora of nutrition certifications available. So you can become a nutritionist in a variety of online programs. And they range from, you know, kind of like maybe a 6-month time period to maybe a year or so. There's, you know, there's some variation there. But so a nutritionist has some training. A registered dietitian nutritionist has an undergraduate degree in nutrition. They also have a master's degree in nutrition. They also do a year-long internship where you're practicing under a dietitian. Then you have to take an exam. Then you have to continue doing continuing education 15 hours every single year.
Yeah. So that's a dietitian.
Yes. A registered dietitian nutritionist, RDN.
RDN. Yes. And you do have those fancy initials after your name.
I do. And I say that because I spent so much money on my education that I have to make people know that it was worth it. I'm educated.
Well, not only are you educated, but knowing you, and I've known you for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the very first person that I called when I started hosting the show, I think it was 8 years ago.
It was, because it was before COVID.
So I was asking around about people that actually understood nutrition and had a broad knowledge and this and that. And I had two people within 15 minutes, and this is a God thing, say, well, you better call your church and ask for Jennifer. And so, you know, I know you don't work at the church,
yeah,
but they ultimately, I think, conveyed a message to you, and then you got back to me, and then you've been on the show ever since.
Yeah.
So, but you were working in some other areas before you started doing nutrition.
Yeah. So the first 10 years of my career, I actually worked at an endocrinology clinic here in Albuquerque, and I ran their diabetes education program, and I also worked in their weight management program. And so, of course, those two things overlapped. You know, I had quite a few patients that were kind of in both programs. But as I was counseling people in that program. And really, you're doing similar things with both diabetes and weight management. You're really helping people to change their habits, right? That's really the goal for both situations. Maybe in slightly different ways, but the goal is the same. And what I was finding is people would do a really good job for a short time, and then they would kind of fall back into old bad habits, right? And so it was really hard to keep people consistent. But I had a few that just kind of grabbed onto it and they ran with it and they did such a good job. And it was the people who had a little bit deeper motivation, and it had to do with their faith. Mm. And so as I was kind of reflecting on my 10 years there, I took a couple years off to stay home with my kids. And as I was reflecting on what made these people successful, that's when I had the idea to start Nourish Nutrition Counseling, because what I really wanted to do was put the faith and the science together and help people with their motivation and their attitudes and their behaviors.
So you believe in physical, mental, and spiritual, but knowing you the way I know you, you don't think those exist separately. They all go together.
Exactly.
And so you have to address everything.
Exactly. I was just talking to my sister-in-law actually about this the other day, because she's working on reducing her anxiety levels. And what she's working on is the spiritual and mental and physical aspects of all of that. And I think that's true. If you think of any health condition we have, there is not just a physical issue going on usually. There's a spiritual issue. There's an emotional or mental issue. And so I think if you forget to work on one of those three, then the rest of them can suffer as well.
So many people feel stuck between strict dieting and just giving up.
Yeah.
It sounds like this has a big part to do with that.
I think so, because, well, when we bring our faith into it, we do have a little more stamina, I think. So we can stick with something a little bit longer, because we're not just doing it for ourselves, or we're not just doing it for our kids, we're doing it for the Lord, right? Mm. So it's really a deeper motivation. But I often talk about kind of the spectrum of motivation and how we can fall into one ditch or the other, one being apathy, where we just don't care. Or maybe we think we've tried this before and it didn't work, and so why would it work now? Or the other end is preoccupation, where we're constantly thinking about food. We're constantly thinking about what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, when we should exercise, when we shouldn't exercise, all of that, right? And so I always say it's taking up a lot of mental real estate.
So I had somebody tell me that I have five kids, you know that, and it's a challenge to raise children. And I'm proud of having done that and still encouraging them as much as I can. But I hear people all the time say, well, I'm glad I didn't raise my children during the time of social media. Mm. And kids today are so influenced. Like when you talk about self-image, for example, and that's a major reason people diet. But then I thought, Jennifer, this isn't just kids.
No, it's not.
I know. I'm almost 70 years old. Yeah. I know 70-year-old guys that worry about what they look like on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does motivation play a role? And then how do you coach people in that area?
Yeah, that's a good. I always ask to start, you know, what are your goals? Right? And then there's a follow-up question to that.
Okay, well, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
So I'm 240 pounds. I'd like to be 180.
Okay.
You're going to tell me no.
No, that's I'm going to say, how do you think your life would be better?
And by the way, I'm not wanting to be 180. That is impossible.
So I would follow it up with a couple of questions. How would your life be different/better if you achieved that goal? And what do you think God would say about that goal?
Well, first of all, I think that I would lead myself into massive frustration. I've gotten down to like 215, and I've eaten very healthy, not a lot of carbs, really balanced vegetables, little piece of meat. I'm not a drinker. I'm not, you know, and I'm not really, like, I don't like Cokes and juices and all that. I like milk. I like water. But there's no possible way I could maintain that weight. So I would get really frustrated.
Right.
And then I'd be calling you for counseling about why am I so frustrated and why do I feel so terrible?
I do think as we age, a lot of us have an unrealistic expectation of what we should weigh. I think that's actually a really common experience. And I think sometimes we think, and I'm speaking about, this is just an example for mostly women, but I hear a lot of women say, well, if I could just get down to the weight I was when I got married, you know, and it's like before they had four or five kids. And it's like, why do we expect our bodies to look the same as it did before, you know, before they went through all of that? It's just, it's really kind of silly in a lot of ways. And I think our culture is influencing us really negatively in that area.
Absolutely. Jennifer Bryant with NourishNutritionCounseling.com. NourishNutritionCounseling.com is in studio. She talks about food, faith, freedom, and finding a balance. We're going to talk to her in our next segment about her newsletter, which is free. She's going to give you more tips and things about what's going on. She does provide services, and you can go to NourishNutritionCounseling.com to find about those services in detail. We'll be back with Jennifer Bryant with more on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
Bill Murray and Groundhog Day. We're having some fun. Happy Groundhog Day. I'm not sure if it's been announced yet. Punxsutawney Phil saw a shadow or not. Haven't heard.
I think it doesn't matter for New Mexico, right?
That's a good point.
Because we like always have sun.
So. Well, I heard somebody say today that even if said winter was going to continue for however many more days, we haven't had really much winter.
No, and I was going to say, probably people listening too, I'm like, I really want to go skiing.
We need prayer for snow.
we need a little more snow.
We need the Lord to deliver a couple of big snowstorms. Although, I guess Sandia's been open for more days than it has been in many years.
We tried to go last weekend. They only have their Bunny Hill lift open.
Oh, well, that's because it got warm.
I know.
Right after that snowstorm.
I know.
Well, Lord, we need some snow. We'll see what he does with that.
Yes, we do.
Hey, NourishNutritionCounseling.com is Jennifer Bryant's website. Lots of free stuff there. Tell us what's available for our listeners.
So I actually, this is kind of a funny story. Just quickly, I started gathering some of my recipes when we moved out of the country about 12 years ago, because I wanted to provide some resources for the patients I was leaving from the endocrinology clinic that I was talking about earlier. They're like, Jennifer, what are we going to do without you? You know? And so I said, oh, well, I'll start a blog and I'll just share some of the recipes that my family and I enjoy. And so when we moved back and I decided to start Nourish Nutrition Counseling, my recipe database just kind of started growing. So when people ask me, what do you eat? I just tell them pretty much all the recipes that my family and I make are on my website. So that's kind of a fun, you know, resource. It's, you know, they're not necessarily professionally developed website or recipes. It's just what I
do. No, but you format it so that you can print those on an 8.5 by 11. Maybe you got a 3-hole punch. You can put it in a notebook. They're all free. Yeah. What else? What other resources are available there?
I think the other big one is my biweekly newsletter that I send out. So that one's just, it's a great little, just little nuggets of what God's word has to say about taking care of our bodies. And then along with that, kind of separating some of the things our culture tries to impress on us that are not necessarily biblical. So kind of trying to sort through, you know, some of what is biblical and what's not.
So that leads us right to a whole series that you came out with in January called the Just Say No series.
Yeah.
And please interject the cultural stuff and how you kind of try to overcome some of the things that people believe that are just, they're not only not biblical, but they're just not true from a nutrition standpoint.
Yeah. And I think the biggest one is that our culture really equates being thin to being healthy. And that's just not necessarily true. There was a really good research study that came out just a few years ago on men specifically, and they looked at the overall health of thin, unfit men versus men who were considered obese and fit. So ones who exercised regularly. And guess who was healthier?
The larger men that were fit.
Yes. And there have been multiple studies similar to that that show that it's not the weight that really determines the overall health of the person, but it is the behaviors. And so I think this is one area where our culture really seeps in is we think, and this is actually part of my story too, I thought that if I can just stay thin, I will be healthy. And then what ended up happening was my pursuit to stay thin actually ended up making me very unhealthy. And so I think that's something for people to think about too. If the ultimate pursuit is thinness, then how is my health going to actually look at the end of that?
I don't have this on our list, but I'm thinking as you're talking. And by the way, I do listen to what you say. I've learned a lot.
Thanks.
As you're going, as in your own thought process, you know about how many diets there are. Everybody listening knows there's the Mediterranean diet and the keto diet and the, you know, let's only eat McDonald's diet. You know, whatever diet you want to invent, it's been out there.
Yeah.
And it's really confusing as to what is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's really going to help you. So I want to take it down to simple. If you're taking in more calories than you're burning, and those calories might be processed foods, high carbohydrate, high sugar, mm-hmm. et cetera, it's not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for us to gain the discipline or to offset those foods, those habits, and change our behavior?
Yeah, I think 100%. But here's what I tell all of my clients. With all of those diets you're talking about, what they're doing is they're focusing on changing a behavior. They have nothing to do with what's going on in your mind.
Mm.
And that's the problem. So I think if we don't start with what's going on in our mind, we're not going to be able to make lasting behavior changes. So I just did a talk back in November. I had to have a video recording for a couple of professional things. And so I just invited like 22 ladies. We had some appetizers and I did a little talk. And the theme of the talk was, we must change the way we think in order to change what we do. And so I think so many of your listeners would resonate with the fact that, you know, they've tried to change a behavior and it just doesn't last. And so that requires a little bit deeper question.
So in order to change your mind, yes, first,
yes.
What are you asking people in your Just Say No series?
Yeah.
What are you asking them to walk away from?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that happens is we really try to control externally what we are consuming. So we try to control carbs, or we try to control calories, or we try to control whatever, protein, fat, you name it, right? Macros.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem is we lose all of the feedback that our body is naturally giving us internally because we're trying to control everything externally. So that's one thing. I try to encourage my people to get back to listening to their body.
And what is an example of how your body speaks to you?
Well, if we only ate when we were hungry and we stopped when we were full, I probably wouldn't have a job, right?
Well, I always get a kick out of this time of year because the Super Bowl is coming.
Yes, yes.
So I can remember more often than not having piles of food everywhere and eating stuff that probably I wouldn't eat the rest of the year. But I noticed this especially 2 years ago that I was eating and I wasn't even hungry. What am I eating this chips and queso for? I'm not even hungry.
Exactly. And there's a couple of huge things that happen with our appetite control that I think is really helpful to know. For example, if you start eating and you're not hungry, your body will not give you a signal to stop. You will not feel full.
Wow.
Yeah. So the grazing, so I hear people say, I'm a grazer. That's not a good way to go.
Yeah.
You're not allowing your body to give you the signals to start and to stop eating. And so it can be it can be really helpful to learn some practical tools to help you with those behavior changes that you were just talking about.
So does everybody or should everybody have a spiritual reason for, or, and that's really just to be healthy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I think so. Yes. I think this is, if you are a true believer, everything we do should be for the glory of God, right? Mm. And that includes how we eat, how we move our bodies. We know that if we are not well, we won't be able to serve the Lord to the best of our ability.
Yeah. This is exercise related, but I have to say, I'm caught up in the, I love to lift weights. I can't, you know, basketball and running the, my knees don't work like they used to. I still enjoy the game and everything, but I really enjoy lifting weights. Mm-hmm. It's that physical outlet. It's fun even spiritually because there's a few people that are Christians that I talk with. And when I have a chance to talk to somebody that doesn't believe, that's even more fun for me. But I'm pretty egotistical. So 2 weeks ago, I am doing a tricep workout and I'm not lifting really heavy weights, but I get on the dip. It's not a machine, but it's an apparatus.
Bars, yeah.
I go up, I go down, my right shoulder dislocates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just dislocated. I mean, and I'm, you know, going to get an MRI on Friday.
Yeah.
And all I've been able to think about since then is the ego involved with why I'm even doing that exercise.
I think that's a good point, Jim. We do have to be careful that we have to respect our body's limits. Right. And so, and I think, I mean, that's hard as we get older, because like you said, our bodies don't work like they used to.
Yeah. I would have never given and I've been doing this exercise. This isn't a new exercise. I guess I'm just not where I used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, an injury is something that often throws people off track, where maybe they were doing really well with changing their habits and then they get injured and then they just kind of give up on everything.
Last question for this segment is stress causes a lot of overeating, doesn't it?
It really does. Actually, this is one of the things I really try to get down to with my clients. If you are eating and you're not hungry, why? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling bored? Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling happy? Right? We kind of eat for all the emotions. But if you can kind of start, I always encourage them to adopt a mindset of curiosity rather than guilt.
Mm.
So get curious. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? And sometimes just asking some good questions.
But they kind of need to be honest with you, don't they?
Yeah. And with themselves too. Yeah.
So is that related to really being open and confessing sin in some cases?
It definitely can be. Yeah. I think
I think you wouldn't tell me, hey, you know, you had a bowl of ice cream, you sinner.
Right.
You're not going to tell me that. But
no.
If I'm like an ice creamaholic, and I've told you I'm a chipaholic.
Yes.
I literally can't have chips.
Yeah.
You know, those old Lay's potato chip things, those commercials are really true. They're me. I can't just eat one.
I know.
So I got to have them nowhere around me.
Right, right. Well, and that goes back to our conversation earlier about processed foods and appetite control. Mm. Those highly processed foods don't give our bodies signals that we're full. So you can eat and eat and eat potato chips, crackers, cookies, and it's likely you're going to have a hard time telling when your body's done.
Yeah. Jennifer Bryant with NourishNutritionCounseling.com is in studio with us. We're talking about eating, how faith and, you know, affects everything that we do and should, and glorifying God. But she's also redefining what's healthy. It's not necessarily the way you look or how skinny you are. It's how healthy you are. Jennifer will be back with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new federal guidelines. Many of you might have heard that the food pyramid has been turned upside down. Well, Jennifer's going to give this straight scoop about what that all means. And then we might spend our last segment before 2 o'clock talking about typical counseling, because I know counseling usually begets more counseling.
Mm.
And that's not really true with you.
No, it's not.
We'll be back with Jennifer Bryant. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sound like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You know, you want a prediction about the weather, you're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's going to be cold, it's going to be gray, and it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
A prediction from Bill Murray, the movie Groundhog Day. We've all had a chance to enjoy that movie. But as Jennifer Bryant said so eloquently earlier, not in New Mexico.
That's right.
We got beautiful sunshine. What are we, 60 degrees?
Beautiful today.
I can't believe it. Jennifer, this is what I'm going to call a paradoxical misnomer. The latest federal nutrition guidance has been published.
Yes, it has.
When the federal government comes out with something, I automatically don't trust. Sorry.
It's so hard to come up with guidelines that fit the needs of the entire population, right? So I kind of think of it like, I like to give them a little bit of grace. Like, it's a very tall task, right?
Well, and you know, it becomes profound, especially when you work like in the media like we do, because we were just hearing a spot promoting the ministry Across Nations, which is up in Window Rock, Arizona. Chuck and Cindy Harper are good friends with this station. We have them on all the time. They do a lot of ministry on the Navajo, Hopi, and Zuni nations, partly in New Mexico and a lot in Arizona. So that culture is totally different. And are you doing some work with them?
No, I'm not. But I was saying Chuck and Cindy are church partners with them.
Oh, I love it.
Too.
But I think talking about nutrition with Native Americans would be different than talking to somebody at Eisenhower Elementary School or middle school.
Yes. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, what I like to do with my clients, which is like personalized nutrition, right? Because you don't want to take away cultural foods. You want to make sure that they understand how to incorporate those, right?
Right.
So just like I grew up on, you know, mostly meat and potatoes. I wouldn't want someone to take that completely away from me, but I want them to help me understand how I can incorporate that into a healthy diet.
So the food pyramid that we've all been working with has little bit of protein and meat at the top, and then this big wide base that's full of grains and bread and all kinds of stuff, which all happen to be my favorite foods that add inches to my waist.
Probably most of our favorite foods, yeah.
So that's been turned upside down now.
Sort of. Okay, so first of all, we haven't actually used the food pyramid since the 90s.
I love it.
Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Do you know what was in the middle? What we have been
supposedly
using for the last 20 years.
Was that fruit or something?
No, it was called My Plate.
Okay.
Have you even heard of this?
No.
Oh, lovely. Okay. So I don't know if you can still even look it up. I haven't tried recently, but it was not terrible. It was a picture of a plate, and then it was sort of sectioned into four sections. And one of the sections was fruits, one of them was vegetables, one of them was grains, and one of them was protein. And then in the corners you had a little glass of milk for dairy and a little small container of oil.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what has been in place for the last 20 years. Okay. So the new food pyramid, they've been pretty brilliant about marketing, trying to say it's totally new. We flipped it upside down, when in reality, it's not that different than what we've had for the last 20 years. I will say there's been a couple good changes, and I'll talk about what those are in a minute. But what I will also say is the majority of Americans aren't following any of the guidelines that we've had for the last, you know.
Is that because they're impossible to follow?
No, they're not impossible to follow. I think there's so many reasons, right? But I think generally there's a perception that some of the processed foods are cheaper. I think there's a perception that it's hard to eat healthy. It takes time. It takes more money. You know, so the perception of trying to eat healthy, I think, is problematic. So I think that's one of the biggest issues. It's definitely not hard to follow. In fact, I mean, if you even make a little bit of an effort, I think it's actually decently easy to kind of make some homemade meals at home. And that's one of the changes I like. Okay.
Last night, I'm at a grocery store, and knowing that we're going to have this interview today, and I'm thinking, what would Jennifer say? And I should have taken a picture of it, but I'm in the frozen section, specifically looking for something that appears healthy, but is processed. Mm. And I come across a organic breaded crab cake that's frozen.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, first of all, there's probably no crab in there. It's probably made out of something else. And so the whole thing is totally deceptive, but we buy what the package says.
Right. And I think that's another problem is just food marketing in general. It is really difficult to discern what is actually healthy. So one of the changes that I like for this new food pyramid is they are really emphasizing whole foods. So I like that. You know, go to the store, buy some fruits and vegetables, buy some meat. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, buy some whole grains, you know. So they're saying, like, let's focus on making some whole food choices rather than buying everything that's already put together for us, right? So the convenience foods thing, really, we're trying to, you know, not eat as much of that, eat more whole foods. That's a good change. I don't even know if I would actually say that's a change, because that was emphasized in the My Plate as well. But again, the marketing for this new pyramid, they're doing a good job of emphasizing that.
Now, so, Jennifer, I know that you wouldn't buy the prepared meals that you can buy now. Because you do it yourself.
I do usually, but I will say I'm not opposed to every once in a while having something like that. For example,
but those aren't necessarily processed.
Right. It depends.
I mean, I'm talking about the nice piece of meat, little vegetable. It's prepackaged. You know, somebody. It's not like processed in a big factory.
Right.
It's fresh food, frozen, and then you just simply reheat it. That's different than processed.
A lot of times it is. When we say, and this is where it gets tricky, because there is a particular definition of ultra-processed foods, but it's hard to define. So it's often defined by some of the nutrients. So it would be fairly low in protein, high in carbohydrate, high in sodium, high in other preservatives. So some of those pieces of the definition make it helpful to kind of decide, is this actually ultra-processed or is it not too bad? Mm. I think the biggest downside of some of those already prepared meals is just cost. Mm. So they're just more expensive. You know, if someone's going to make it for you, you're going to pay more than if you were to buy the ingredients for yourself. So,
yeah.
Second thing I do like about this new pyramid is they are emphasizing a little more protein. And I think that is good. I think that generally, and I'm thinking specifically about school lunches here, the school lunches have been a little bit lower in protein than what I would have liked to see as a dietitian. And so this is one application of the new pyramid, is that will translate into some of our school food systems.
I don't know if you were planning on commenting about this, but as soon as you mention school, lunch, meat, a lot of times, whatever that is on that plate is pretty hard to say what that is. Are there qualities of meat that we ought to be paying attention to?
I'm laughing really hard at your question because my son Joshua, who goes to El Dorado, he just made a comment about this the other day. So I don't know if some listeners saw on the news, they actually are reinstituting, it's a pilot program right now, but they're hoping to expand it to bring salad bars back. I think El Dorado has one and maybe Highland High School has one right now. And if it works and if it goes well, they're going to expand it to other schools. And so Joshua said the other day, he said, "Mom, when the chicken is out, everybody loves to get salad bar because we know what the chicken is. But sometimes there's this meat on there that we're not really sure what it is, and it's kind of gray, and so nobody wants that."
Well, and look, I don't want to offend anybody, but my dad and a lot of people I know that live in Hawaii love Spam.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Guys, I don't think Spam's good for you. I don't know what's in there.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
But that's ultra processed, right?
It is. It is. Mainly because of the sodium.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the deal, though, too. And I'm thinking like large, big picture. You know, we have a lot of rural areas in New Mexico mm-hmm. that maybe don't have good refrigeration or good ways to keep food safe. And so in that situation, I would say using some canned meat to get your protein might be a very appropriate choice. So I think it's important just to kind of recognize that there are different situations, and sometimes those situations call for different nutrition goals.
I love it. Jennifer Bryant is the owner of Nourish Nutrition Counseling. She's been a frequent contributor to ABQ Connect now 8 or 9 years, and we really appreciate you being here. We're going to come back after thanking some sponsors and talk to Jennifer about 2026. She's got classes going on. We're going to tell you how to contact Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and there's a lot of free information on her website, nourishnutritioncounseling.com. We'll be back with Jennifer right after these messages.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
There is no way that this winter is ever going to end. As long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow, I don't see any other way out. He's got to be stopped, and I have to stop him.
Jennifer Bryant says that we don't have to worry about Groundhog Day because it's always pretty warm in our beautiful state of New Mexico.
Sunny. Really
it is.
Sunny.
It's nice.
Yeah.
In fact, we need to really kind of pray for some snow.
We do. We've only been 2 days this year, and I would really like to go some more days. And I am definitely the worst skier in my family now.
But it is, I haven't skied for a while, but I used to ski all the time. I was raised with some guys in high school that were all part of the Sandia Peak and Santa Fe ski areas, the Jacksons and the Abruzzos. They were really just amazing athletes, and they kind of got us all interested. And there's nothing like standing on a ski slope. Everything's kind of muffled, mm-hmm. and you hear the skis clicking, and it's just kind of quiet. Yeah. I just love it. I think it's amazing.
It is. It really is.
It's fun. Jennifer, I'm going to be myself as an example. I've dieted. This isn't really true, but I'm making this up. I've dieted for many years. I lose 10 pounds. I gain back 15. I lose 5. I gain back 12. I mean, whatever. And that's kind of common.
It's very common. Yeah.
So I've decided that I just don't feel like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to motivate me?
Mm. That's so good. So my newsletter that I'm doing right now is How to Find Motivation When You Don't Feel Like It. Mm. So we're talking about, a couple of phrases that I think might be helpful for listeners. Number one is we want to think about progress over perfection. I think sometimes the idea that we have to be perfect keeps us from doing anything. Okay. Mm. Or the feeling of overwhelm when you have a long list of things you know you need to change, and then instead of starting with something small, you just are overwhelmed, and so then you don't do anything, right? So I think that's the first thing is, again, we want to change the way we're thinking about it to change what we do, right? So so switching that mindset to how can I make progress this week instead of how do I need to eat perfectly this week? Okay. So I think that's the first thing. The other thing that's helpful for most people is accountability. Mm. So if you have someone that can just ask you about it from time to time, like, hey, how are you doing with your goals?
This is really a scriptural, biblical concept to have accountability in all areas.
Yes. And I think we sometimes, if you are like the example that you just said, Jim, if you have done this a million times and you keep failing or you feel like you're failing, sometimes it's really hard to find some accountability because you're afraid you're just going to do it again.
Have you found differences between men and women and them being accountable to other people?
Generally, I think women are it's easier for them to ask for help. Generally, men have a little bit of a harder time. Obviously, it's not true for everyone, but just generally speaking. But I think having someone that you trust that can encourage you sometimes, or that can just ask you about it. And then the other thing is, I think sometimes we make goals that are just a little too lofty. And when we don't quite get there, instead of, again, getting curious about why didn't we get there, we just give up. So what we should do is we should get curious and think about what got in the way and maybe modify the goal and try again. Whereas we tend to just sort of oscillate between this, like, we're all in or we're not doing anything at all.
So you've not recommended what we would all say is insane. Keep doing the same thing. You're actually right. Saying modify it, change the things where you fail.
Yes.
But you got to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about to accomplish that.
I think so. And even just, like I said, having a friend that can kind of encourage you or just ask you about it, or maybe a family member, doesn't really matter who, but have someone keep you accountable.
Have you ever had maybe a couple of women who are friends, mm-hmm. they have a common goal and they want to work together. Is that a counseling situation that you would involve yourself in?
Sometimes. I do run from time to time small group programs. So I think of an ideal number for that is like 3 to 6 people. Maybe if you have a group of like 3 to 6 people who all kind of have the same goal, absolutely. I think that's a great environment. The other really helpful thing in that kind of a situation is questions. So someone else might ask a question that you didn't think of, but is super helpful to you.
And they don't all have to have the same goal.
Yeah.
Like there might be somebody that would like to lose 10 pounds and another person that just would like to gain a little more strength.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I actually say all my clients have the same goal. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It's to take care of their body.
Mm.
And so that might look different. That might mean for some people, that might mean gaining some weight. For some people, that might mean losing some weight. For some people, that might mean staying the same, but just changing some of their behaviors. So everybody's goal is the same, but the way to get there looks different.
You've shared in past shows that you felt at some point that you were maybe confronting an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never asked any details, and I'm not going to ask you details now. But have you ever had someone who was borderline anorexic or even anorexic that their mindset has changed and they eat correctly and they've recovered and gained back muscle mass? Have you seen that happen?
Yes, all the time.
Cool.
I have, currently, I have 4 ladies who all fit that story.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I ask that because I just think there's people listening
yes.
that go, here's where I am. Yep. I don't need to lose weight. I need really to get healthy.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was kind of a funny, I never thought that I would be working in that area. And the Lord just kind of opened some doors and I find myself really enjoying it.
So. What is... I think a lot of times people think that that is a female thing,
mm-hmm.
but it actually affects men as well,
it
right?
Does. Yeah, yeah, it does. It's not as common in men, but it definitely does. And I do think social media is having a little more of an impact on men than it had previously. So
yeah, social media, I'm just not sure what is good about that.
I know.
It's hard to filter out. Like I can tell you right now, you know, I like to stay up on what is actually going on in our federal government, mm-hmm. some political things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go on social media or you read a typical network radio station piece or television piece, you don't know what's true.
I know.
It's really hard to figure out what did these people say that's actually accurate.
I think that's the same with nutrition. Actually, these days too, because you have all these big personalities on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, saying these things in a very convincing way, and it's actually not true, and they really don't have any credentials, so you do have to be careful.
So we've got about a minute left. Tell us what NourishNutritionCounseling.com is putting out for 2026.
Yeah,
what's planned?
So 2026, my focus this year is I want to do a little more speaking. So I already have a couple of things coming up where I'm going to churches and doing kind of like a guest appearance for a Bible study or hosting a little workshop, things like that. So I'm really excited about that. That's one of my passions. And I think that's a cool way to just kind of reach more people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm still doing my one-on-one counseling. Small group options are available. And then I am still working at the YMCA doing nutrition classes, usually like 3 or 4 times a month.
Do you announce those in your newsletter, which is free?
I do announce those in my newsletter.
So if somebody goes to nourishnutritioncounseling.com, they click on what?
Newsletter.
Mm-hmm. And they can put in their email address. Is that safe for them? Are you selling that list to the latest marketing firm?
No, it's literally just me. And I send you 2 emails a month.
Okay.
And I like to think that they're very helpful.
And they're free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just another resource.
I send a good recipe or, you know, there's always some scripture in there. So there's some good things. And it's a good way to see what's coming up.
Yeah. And I said earlier, I'm not a cook. I like cooking, but I'm not like a gourmet. Your pictures always look better than what I come up with, but I do like the taste of the recipes because I've been very successful. You make it simple.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can print them up on 8.5 by 11, punch 3 holes, put them in a notebook, and I kind of have them.
Yeah.
And I've probably found 10 or 12 that I really like and have pretty frequently.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Strong work.
Thank you. Well, food photography was something I definitely had to learn a little bit about, and I'm definitely not an expert.
Well, tell us what's going on. Jean is going to join you for a workshop in
April.
Yeah,
we're going to do another Wellness in the Word. The date is tentative right now, sometime in April. So again, you know, the newsletter can provide all the information about that, but we're really excited about that. Those Wellness in the Word workshops are one of our favorite things.
And Gina specializes in exercise for women.
Mm-hmm.
So fitness, there's and you do a lot of exercising too.
Yeah. Yeah. So fitness, I love it. This is a good thing to maybe end on. Her definition of fitness is being ready to do what the Lord has called you to do.
Being ready to do what the Lord has called you to do. Does that include dips?
Not if you're going to dislocate your shoulder.
Oh, man. My ego has gotten me in trouble so many times, but this one hurt little more than I was anticipating.
Yes.
We'll have you back on, Jennifer, to talk about that workshop. And if people want to reach out to you and get more information, take advantage of the resources, they can go to nourishednutritioncounseling.com.
Yeah. And actually, my story is on there too. So if they'd like to read a little bit about how I overcame my, I wouldn't call it an eating disorder, but some unhealthy eating patterns, they can read about it.
And you share that because that weakness has made others strong. God has used that in your life many times, and it'll do the same thing for them.
100%.
Amen. Jennifer Bryant, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.